Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
In the last few hours, well, Zohran Mamdani has been elected as the next mayor of New York City. He's the city's first Muslim. He's the first South Asian mayor elect. His win was projected by multiple outlets. He defeated Andrew Cuomo, who was running as an independent, as you know, as well as the Republican candidate. He's set to take office on January the 1st, 2026. Shabbos Kestenbaum, good morning. Your first reaction to this confirmation?
Sure. Well, I don't know if I would say good morning. It certainly isn't. This is not surprising, but it is shocking. I'm not interested that Zohran Mamdani is the first Muslim mayor. I'm not interested that he's the first South Asian mayor. I'm interested that he's the first intellectually challenged mayor, someone who was unable to call out the calls for genocide against Jewish people, someone whose previous job was a failed rapper, someone who praised the Holy Land Five, which is a convicted terrorist group that provided support to Hamas. Someone whose policies have no basis in reality. So it's easy for you and I to talk about the Jewish aspect, the anti-Semitic aspect, and it's certainly an important aspect. But we also have to keep in mind that his policies, which even if they were implemented to a tenth, would be so wildly destructive and disastrous for New York City. And really the only people who are happy about these results are the foreign-born socialists who voted for him. And then, of course, President Trump and the Republican Party, because they just won the midterms in 2026. They just won the presidential campaign in 2028. They will tie every last Democrat to Zohran Mamdani, as they should, because he's the future. It's not Joe Biden. It's certainly not Kamala Harris. It's people like Zohran Mamdani, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. It's the squad. The first people to pay the price will, of course, be New York's Jews, but they will certainly not be the last people to pay the price.
So, in fact, something I said to listeners a few days ago, that his win will be the biggest win for the Republican Party. There's no doubt about it, because this is going to be a living example that is just going to be called out. And as residents of Johannesburg, a city that has had one mayor after the next who has similar ideologies and policies, we can attest to it. Our city is crumbling, and one of the most beautiful cities in the world has fallen apart directly as a result of this type of decision to elect this type of mayor. So we certainly understand it. What does it mean, though, for the Democratic Party in of itself, because this is very clearly a move in a direction that not everybody will be comfortable with.
Correct. The problem is the adults in the room have totally acquiesced and placated and surrendered to the radical mob, which is why the story of Zohran Mamdani isn't really the story of Zohran Mamdani, because there have always been radicals and socialists within the Democratic Party. The problem, or I shouldn't say the problem, historically, though, they have always been condemned and they have been alienated. The problem we've seen with this particular iteration of socialism is the adults in the room, the alleged leadership of our party, like Governor Kathy Hochul of New York, like House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, who's also a congressman from New York, they've endorsed Zohran Mamdani. They haven't condemned him. They haven't told his voters or the constituents that they represent that none of these policies will ever be passed, let alone actually solve the issues that they care about. Instead, they have gone along with this illusion that somehow we are going to run government-run grocery stores, that we are going to make public transportation entirely free. We are going, in his own words, tax white neighborhoods. I mean, these are policies straight out of your country. That's why I sort of jokingly, but not jokingly, said there's no point in saying good morning. Well, first of all, it isn't the morning, it's evening by us. But this is really a dark day for New York. It's a dark day for the United States. There is a reason. George Will, who's a conservative columnist, he was on Bill Maher's show a few weeks ago, and he actually said that he would support Zohran Mamdani winning. Why? Because he believes that every 20 to 30 years in the United States, we need a reminder as to why we abhor socialism, as to why we celebrate democracy and capitalism. And recently, the American people, primarily my generation, Gen Z, have become quite lazy and have become quite complacent. And we need a sort of a kick in the face to remind us as to why we are not a socialist country, but we are a unique capitalist country. And unfortunately, Zohran Mamdani will be that kick in the face. It's quite Machiavellian to say. And of course, no one wants the people of New York, including myself, as I am a New Yorker, to suffer. But this will hopefully prevent any future socialist from rising in any other parts of the country. But it's a very, very sad day for my city, for my state. And as I said, Jews will be the first to feel it, but they certainly won't be the last.
Well, as I was reading yesterday about many of the financial firms who already have set up these almost dual head offices in other parts of the country. Almost in a way hedging their bets around this. I mean, it wasn't an immediate decision. Obviously, it's something that happens over a period. But given the fact that it is not difficult to facilitate a move to other parts of the U.S., is this the area that will first be impacted, or will we start to see people physically moving in terms of their own lifestyles?
Yeah, that's kind of the million-dollar question, right? I mean, I know anecdotally of all my friends and family and neighbors who live in New York City, everyone is asking themselves those questions tonight, which, again, would have been unthinkable just a year ago that we would be having these conversations. Because when you think about American Jewry, to sound a little elitist just for a moment, you're really thinking of New York Jewry. Jews have been living in New York longer than any other state.
Everybody else is an out-of-towner, right? That's how you guys speak.
Exactly.
I always find that funny.
Exactly.
Either you're a New Yorker or you're an out-of-towner.
Exactly. I mean, Jews have not only have we been living in New York for hundreds of years, but we have built institutions. We have built legacies. I mean, there's walk down the Lower East Side, walk down the Upper West Side. I mean, there's just so much history. And this, I think, is the Jewish community of New York. I think this is our greatest existential moment, really, since we got here. So in terms of the particularities of your question, I would say this. America is a big country, and it's comprised of 50 states. And as with any federalist system, each state is very much unique. So do I think that the Jews of New York are going to be packing up and moving to Israel? Well, the data doesn't support that. I mean, Nefesh B'Nefesh and Israel's own absorption ministry, they haven't really seen an uptick in Jews leaving the United States. They saw a little bit over COVID, but that's about it. So the Jews who wanted to leave have already left, for the most part. I think more Jews will probably leave now post-Mamdani, but overall, I don't think it'll be a massive bump. What I will say is Jews will more likely than not be leaving New York to other places within the United States. I mean, we've already seen, and again, this is true post-COVID, but the catalyst of Zohar Mamdani can't be denied, that they're moving to other places that Jews historically have not lived in. So South Florida, North Carolina, Texas, there will be states that are increasingly attractive and competing for Jewish constituencies, because why would Jews want to live in a city where their own mayor, for example, won't march in the Israel Day parade, where their own mayor will eradicate and defund the Office of Strategic Affairs, which, among other things, helped break down some of the anti-Semitic riots on Columbia University. I mean, this is not a mayor who represents us, and I am happy to be wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but everything he has said and done up until this point has made it abundantly clear that he has no desire to represent New York Jewry.
So what are the next steps of New York Jewry in terms of engagement? I mean, it's been very, very clear that what the feelings are on either side of this. No one's held back in terms of the concerns around anti-Semitism, this anti-Israel fixation. Should Jewish organizations now be engaging with the mayor's office? Should they step back? How would you advise Jewish organizations to manage this?
Well, first of all, I think there's a lot of blame to be put on the Jewish organizations, although that's a story for another time. I think there's a really good question to be asked as to how the Jewish organizations really took a backseat, not only to this past election, but really a backseat to the horrific and unprecedented rates of anti-Semitism that New York Jews, particularly New York Jewish students, had been experiencing the last 2 years. So that's a story for another time, but it's a really good question that needs to be asked, and it needs to be asked openly and publicly and asked by people other than just me, because when I ask it, I just get yelled at. But if more people ask it, then I won't yell that as much. But the other part is, no, they should. Yes and no. Let me give you a practical example. I mentioned the Israel Day Parade. The Israel Day Parade, if the organizers were smart, they would right now publicly state that Zohar Mamdani is not welcomed, because we, as proud New York Jews, we believe in Israel's right to exist, both as a Jewish and democratic state, and Zohar Mamdani has emphatically denied that right. So it's obvious that he's not welcomed. And not only is he not welcomed ideologically, but pragmatically, Zoran Bon is not going to come to the parade. So don't let him get the upper hand. You should state right now that you are not planning on inviting him. As it pertains to other particularities, look, if we can get funding for security, if we can get funding for our teachers, if we can get funding for our programs, then yes, we should absolutely use Gracie Mansion and we should use the mayor to our advantage. But to see him as an ally, I think would be quite naive. Be quite dangerous, but if they're pockets of total self-interest, I mean, that's what politics are. It's self-interest.
It's so interesting, this. As you're talking, I'm thinking about the South African jury and their relationship, our relationship with the ANC. For years, we tried to do that, engage, and we had great photo opportunities and speaking at Jewish conferences. But in fact, all the while, we should have just said, you're not welcome. Actually, we don't want to engage you when you are ready to treat us with the respect that belongs to all citizens of the country, then by all means. But instead, I think that we're so quick to want to plaster things over and resolve and make it appear as though we have a good relationship that we sometimes make the wrong decisions. And it's very interesting as you're talking that through how much this is coming back. There were pockets of religious Jews. I mean, obviously, we saw it all over social media because that's what happens when anybody is Jewish and supports the wrong thing, backs the wrong horse. Is that a significant part of New York jury that the Satmas or whoever it was that endorsed him?
No, I would not say this is representative of even a significant amount of the Jewish community. I mean, Satmar is a really good example of this. Mm. The Satmar leadership very emphatically endorsed Andrew Cuomo. It was two or three individuals who are, yes, they're prominent in the community, but two or three individuals on their own who decided to endorse Zoran Mamdani. Zoran Mamdani did not get the Orthodox vote. In fact, in areas like Midwood, areas like Borough Park, areas like Williamsburg, which have very high, in fact, the highest Jewish percentages of any district in New York City, Andrew Cuomo got 80%, 85%, 89% of the vote. I mean, really unprecedented numbers. So the Jewish community at large kind of held its own. Exit polls are still coming in, so it'll remain to be seen exactly how many voted, but you'll probably get between 25 to 35% of New York Jews who voted for Zora Mamdani. But let's be absolutely clear, these are Jews who are totally unconnected to the Jewish community. They do not go to Jewish day school. They do not attend Jewish synagogue. They've never been to Israel. They certainly can't point to Israel on a map or speak Hebrew. Their Judaism is going to Zabar's and ordering bagel and lox. And that's fine. But to present themselves as a canvasser did when they knocked on my door unannounced and uninvited by saying, well, I'm voting for Zoran Mamdani because of my Jewish values, and you, Shabbos Kestabem, should be voting for Zoran Mamdani because of your Jewish values. And when I asked them, this is 2 weeks ago, and when I asked them, well, if Jewish values are so central to your identity, then can you tell me, and mind you, this is about a week or two after Simchat Torah, when we finished the Torah cycle, I said, well, what is this week's Torah portion? which anyone with a basic Jewish education would be able to answer, and of course, this woman was not able to answer. So it's a damning indictment on just how profoundly uneducated a significant amount of the New York Jewish community and by extension the American Jewish community is. But that's why the antidote, and I've been saying this well before Zoran Mamdani and in many cases not even connected to Zoran Mamdani, but the answer to October 7th is we would radically reinvest our resources into Jewish education, making sure there's not a single American Jew who's going to public school because their parents can't afford Jewish day school, making sure that there is double the enrollment of Jewish summer camps, Jewish trips to Israel on fully sponsored trips. You know, that's the solution of how we meet October 7th. And again, when we don't do those things, when we don't make those important investments, we get the Jews for Zoran Mamdani. We get Jews for Palestine, like on Harvard's campus. So the answer, I think, is right in front of us. It's just a question of political and financial will.
Shabbos Kestenbaum, you just keep fighting the fight. It is, and we'll try and support that as much as possible so that you don't get shouted at exclusively, because that doesn't seem fair. But thank you for chatting to us. Thank you for all that you do. And certainly we will continue to follow the story very closely.